Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. 1 week from today, a big decision looms for Jackson County voters. Will they vote to tax themselves by an additional half cent for 20 years in a bid to spur more medical research? From the start, the idea has been called a way to transform the county into an innovative hub for medical science. Critics question the use of the sales tax and say the county has other priorities right now, including transportation. This morning, an in-house debate on the issues facing voters just 7 days from now. Passions are high on both sides of this issue, but a lot of voters are still wondering, what in the world is translational medicine? KCUR's Alex Smith has been working to find out.
Taking something at the verge of discovery, let's say something out of a laboratory.
That's Children's Mercy Hospital's Greg Kearns.
And getting that very quickly into some type of product, some package, some decision that could influence the care and treatment of an individual.
It could be something like bone cement.
And on that end, we have the biomaterials where we can make things like dental amalgam.
Dr. Linda Bonewald leads a tour through her lab at the UMKC School of Dentistry. She's developing a bone cement for use in prosthetic surgery. It's designed to replace a decades-old cement that doesn't always work well. Yeah, Bonewald is her real name. The cement has been tested on rats and pigs, and next...
What I'm hoping personally is that we will establish the Translational Medicine Institute to help get this into humans much quicker than it would take us otherwise.
A lot of what's now called translational medicine has always been the focus of drug and medical device research. They spend billions and billions to create medical products to sell. But other medical research funding, especially on the public side, has gone for basic, not applied research. This doesn't always lead to practical medical treatments.
We're extremely good at curing cancer in mice, and not so good at curing cancer in human beings.
That's former National Institutes of Health Director Elias Zerhouni being interviewed a few years ago. The focus of the NIH has been shifting in the last decade toward translational research. Children's Mercy Dr. Kathy Goggin says this is due to increased scrutiny from the agency's budget makers in Congress.
A lot of this grew out of the National Institutes of Health really being asked over and over again, what are your dollars doing to benefit my constituents? And Congress really holding them to task.
If Jackson County passes the half-cent tax, Children's Mercy, St. Luke's Hospital, and the UMKC School of Medicine would divide the funds. They've promised this will create jobs, but voters still wonder how much translational medicine will actually do for the public. This is part of a larger conversation that's been taking place in the medical community worldwide.
My name is Stephen Wolf. I'm director of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University.
Dr. Wolf has written about the debate for the Journal of the American Medical Association. On one side, there's developing and testing new drugs, techniques, and devices, and on the other side...
The other kind of translational medicine is closing the gap between what we know ought to be done in the care of patients and what is actually being done.
According to Dr. Wolf, patients in the U.S. only get about half of the treatments they should. Many translational medicine programs are created to change that through community engagement, education, and changes in the way medicine is practiced. But this end of translational medicine is a lot less profitable than making drugs or devices, and it receives less funding.
Doing a better job of getting patients to receive the care they need is less a profit center.
Kansas City's medical research proposal does include public health funding. It earmarks 10% of the tax funds to serve as grant money for local organizations, and at least 20% of the earnings from any products created would pay for local health initiatives. Supporters of the Jackson County research tax say the public would also benefit from the health research, but advocates of the public health approach to translational medicine say that the greater population would get a lot more from putting that same money into public health.
We've done studies on this and shown that these marginal improvements that we get by developing a new generation of lipid-lowering drugs or blood pressure medicines has some benefit on health. But if you took the older medicine and just did a better job of giving it to everybody who needed it, you'd save many more lives than you do by developing the fancier medicine.
Today, translational research centers and training programs are part of many medical institutions. In Kansas City, translational work is being done as part of KU Med's Frontiers program and the Stowers Institute's Biomed Valley. And depending on voters, we may see more of it on Hospital Hill. I'm Alex Smith, KCUR News.
And now our debate on the pro side of this question is David Westbrook. He's Senior Vice President for Strategy and Innovation at Children's Mercy Hospital. David, welcome back. Always good to
Thank
have you here.
Very glad to be here.
Jim Fitzpatrick is against this proposal. He's with the Committee to Stop a Bad Cure, and he's a former reporter for the Kansas City Star. Jim, nice to have you, too.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
And if our listeners have questions about this proposal, this is a very good time to call. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org or tweet us at @kcuruptodate. David Westbrook, why is this such a good idea? What are you thinking?
Oh, there are lots of reasons why it's a good idea. First of all, I think it's important to recognize that the people who conduct this research are medical doctors. They're scientists, of course, by training, but they're medical doctors who not only work in the laboratory but work alongside patients. So what we at Children's Mercy have is an opportunity to see an extraordinary number of challenging cases. And when you do extraordinary cases on a regular basis, you get very, very good at it. And when you get very good at what's extraordinary, you're excellent at what's ordinary. So what I'm trying to say is that this will recruit and bring more talent to our organization. We'll see over 500,000 patients in one year. And the work that we do is informed by the extraordinary cases that help improve care along the way. Now, the other benefit I think that's so significant is that this is going to do a great deal to stimulate the economy. We've lost 27,000 jobs in Jackson County in the last 10 years. This is going to stimulate over $1 billion of economic activity in the first 10 years from companies and entrepreneurial activities and employment that will take place because of this commitment. Hmm.
Jim Fitzpatrick, David hasn't sold you on his argument. Why not? What are your concerns about what this proposal is all about?
Well, first of all, Steve, a lot of times in discussions like this, it starts out as we have here with what is translational medicine and why would it be good? And it is good. But people overlook the basics here. And I always like to start with the basics. It's not an issue. It's not an election on translational medical research. It's an election on a sales tax. You will not see that anywhere in the literature or the TV ads that their proponents are financing with at least $1.7 million, and it might be $2 million by the time it's all over. Mm-hmm. But it is indeed a half-cent sales tax in Jackson County, which is the largest proposed sales tax in the county in many years. Kansas City, as you know, has passed a half-cent sales tax last year for parks and community centers, and the year before for the zoo, it was either a quarter or an eighth of a cent tax. So this is the third year in a row for Kansas Cityans to face a significant sales tax increase. They approved both of those, and mm-hmm. I think we're reaching the saturation point. But at any rate, it's a half-cent sales tax that would generate $40 to $50 million a year and taxpayer money over an initial term of 20 years. The proponents say it's going to be $800 million. They just do the multiplication, 20 times 40. Well, there's such a thing as inflation. I think that would take it easily over $1 billion over 20 years of taxpayer money from Jackson County only, financing an extravagant and rather risky program that may or may not yield big results.
And that's your concern. You know, you're talking about how much it would cost, but your concern with it is what? That it may not pay off, if
yes.
I'm hearing you right.
Yes. With the stadiums, we approved a tax for the improvements of the stadiums, and many people were against that, but it passed by a large margin.
Right.
But still, you can see the stadium's there. They've been there since 1970. We've had great games out there. Hundreds of thousands of people in our area have had great pleasure.
Well, we're going to see some bricks and mortar for this proposal, though, too, Fitz, aren't we?
Just one building. Mm-hmm. It's the Hall family has put up the challenge grant of $75 million. They're saying that they would put up the $75 million if the voters approve that they have sent sales tax, and they would spend the $75 million on a 4 to 6 story building mm-hmm. on Hospital Hill that would house the new Translational
All
Medicine
right.
Institute of Jackson County.
David Westbrook, let me come back to you. What will Jackson County voters see if they wind up approving this tax and agree to pony up the $800 million over 20 years? What do they get out of this deal?
Well, first of all, what they get right now out of Children's Mercy is they get an opportunity to come to get their kids taken care of, and regardless of their capacity or ability to pay. And we are able to provide better outcomes for those children because of the extraordinary number of cases that we see. What they're going to get out of this particular initiative is an investment that's going to produce a return. There's talk about the possibility that we would be able to see commercialization of some of the products and techniques that are invented, and that commercialization would generate revenue. And we certainly think that in the scope of the work that is being considered by this organization, it will be able to take care of itself after 20 years. That's why the law can sunset and the tax can go away.
And if this thing pays off, David, don't the voters, the residents of the county, the taxpayers see some benefit as a result?
Well, they're going to see the benefits associated with more jobs. They're going to see the benefits associated with a stronger and more diversified economy. They're going to see the benefits of a revenue stream that would be generated coming back into the community from the sale of the products and services that are invented here. But this is not primarily an entrepreneurial enterprise. This is recognizing that Kansas City has become a destination for certain kinds of health care and certain kinds of medical research. And this leverages off of the already considerable investment this community has made in those institutions doing that work.
But, David, if folks say there's no guarantees here, I think I just heard Jim say that. Are there any guarantees here?
I can guarantee you we're going to have more highly qualified medical doctors being of service to the community here. I'll give you an example. Here is a young child who comes to us with a disease that seems to have symptoms that are pretty predictable in the way the diagnosis and treatment would go. But we conduct the work and we find that the child is not responding to that particular medical treatment. And why? Because we're able to take a snapshot of that child's genome, which used to cost $2 billion when the research was done initially and took 20 years to invent the first one. We will do one in 48 hours for less than $10,000. We'll discover something odd about the genetic qualities of that particular child, and we'll be able to take different drug dosages and a different treatment protocol and apply it to that child and cure that child. That is from research, and that research is not available other places in the country. In fact, the research doctor who has invented that research is going to license that through Children's Mercy, and we will generate revenue from that.
You know, Dave, we're getting lots of phone calls here from listeners who have questions at 816-235-2888. But one of the most pressing questions about this ballot issue is why a tax to begin with? I mean, why don't private interests or the big drug companies, for that matter, why don't they pay for this if this is such a darn good idea?
This kind of work usually is generated by the academic settings of a UMKC or a Children's Mercy or a St. Luke's. And the work that is done is intended by those institutions not to commercialize something or primarily invent a product, but to invent better quality care and deliver better outcomes to people. And as that, we're not a profit-motivated organization. We're trying to make social progress. And, you know, the perfect example of this, there's a TV commercial that's been broadcast for this. It's featuring Emily, who's a young 17-year-old patient of Children's Mercy who has juvenile glaucoma. I have juvenile glaucoma, and so does Emily. Emily can see today. I cannot. And the reason is not because something did something wrong for my case. When I was identified with juvenile glaucoma, there wasn't even such a thing known to the medical doctors. So that is all because of research. Emily is going to have a promising life. I've had a wonderful life, but give me a choice, and I'd rather have my eyesight. Emily has got that opportunity because of the research that will be done and will continue to be done by these institutions.
We're talking about the half-cent sales tax on the ballot next Tuesday before Jackson County voters. Jim Fitzpatrick, why don't you respond to what you're hearing here?
Yes, thank you, Steve. Another basic that I want to get in here is how the money would be divided, which is $40 million, $20 million a year would go to Children's Mercy Hospital, which is a nonprofit organization. It's a tremendous institution, as we all know, but it is nonprofit. They take plenty of money in from private pay, private health insurance, Medicaid, and other sources, including the federal government.
And what's your concern about that? I'm not sure I'm tracking.
Well, why do they need public money? Why do they need $20 million of Jackson County sales tax money? I think they're getting plenty of money as it is. It is a gold-plated institution over there, if you've ever walked through the halls. Now, years ago, they were operating out of trailers over there, and that was terrible. But there was a huge drive to upgrade Children's Mercy, and that has happened. Now they're on good financial footing. We haven't heard anything in years about that. But let me go on, Steve. There's $8 million a year would go to UMKC, which is the only publicly funded institution that would receive money. That's the only publicly funded institution. St. Luke's Health System, takes in tens of millions of dollars more each year than it spends. Why in the world would taxpayer money be going to St. Luke's, a conglomerate? It makes absolutely no sense. It, too, is nonprofit.
David, why money to St. Luke's? And Jim just referred to Children's Mercy as having gold-plated this and that.
Your example about Children's Mercy, I think, is a great example of an organization that has been built on a vision by people in the community who said, Children's Mercy is here as an institution of last resort. We want it to become an institution of first resort. And, Jim, we spend millions and millions of dollars a year taking care of populations that are uninsured or underinsured. Every Medicaid patient we have to subsidize. And we subsidize that by doing well with the people who pay a commercial insurance, but also, of course, by our benefactors. This is another dimension of that benefactor activity, and it is a dimension that makes sense because there is going to be an opportunity to produce a return on the investment that this represents.
But why not more money to the public institution, UMKC, David, as Jim just pointed out? Why not put more money in the pot there?
Well, you have a seat of research that takes place at Children's Mercy, and we have a significant investment in that infrastructure. And it's a place where there's a great promise for research in the future. We're going to collaborate. All of the partner institutions will be on the same board. They will be working on projects jointly and independently. So I think that it's an enormously promising, innovative idea that has great promise associated with it.
Again, you're listening to an in-house debate about next week's ballot issue before Jackson County voters that has to do with translational medicine. We're having a pro and con debate here about, and lots of voters lining up here want to ask questions about this whole thing. Linda from Kansas City, Missouri. Linda, good morning.
Good morning. My question has to do with employment. You know, this is a county that is a poor county, and with an average income of around $44,000 a year. Mr. Westbrook, you've said previously that on this show that this would create or enable the hiring of 8 to 9 principal investigators and associated staff, and the MOU between the institutions indicates an estimated level of 73 direct hirees during the first year, and I assume that's of operation, and 193 by year 10. Yet this is being presented in flyers that are being sent out as almost like a job bill. I mean, it doesn't compute. What do you say about that?
Well, I understand your rhetoric. I will tell you that there will be at least 500 jobs created by this, and there will be at least $800 million plus of economic activity that would be generated by companies and others that are associated with this in the first 10 years. This is, of course, going to stimulate the life sciences infrastructure, which is already a significant part of the Kansas City economy. It's like saying 120 years ago, agriculture is not important to us. Life sciences has become an extremely vibrant and vital part of our economy. And it's something that we can benefit from terrifically if we make further investment in it.
Linda, thank you. Let's go to Russ from Kansas City, Missouri. Russ, good morning.
Hello. Yeah, this smacks at least a little bit of the shall we say, disrespect toward basic research that we experienced during the early parts of this century on the parts of officialdom. Basic research matters. I mean, the people these days who blog about how irritated they are with all the money wasted on a few moon rocks do so on computers that wouldn't exist without those very same moon missions. Basic research matters. It may not be a bottom line issue, but the bottom line based on cures that are invented based on that basic research will matter. I mean, we worked for 10 years to prevent Y2K from being a catastrophe, and people say, yeah, it was all wasted effort. No, it wasn't. There was no catastrophe. Research and work behind the scenes matter. Thank you.
Russ, thank you. I appreciate it. Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888. Our email address, update@kcur.org. Steve from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning.
Good morning. My question has to do with the attempt or the effort to make sure that people who support the tax will get out to vote. Specifically the employees of the three affected institutions. I'm wondering, is there any concerted effort to reach people who would be hurt by the tax urge them to get out and to vote no on the tax.
Jim Fitzpatrick, what's the campaign that's opposing this initiative doing to rally the forces here?
Well, we are. It is obviously a key to get people out to the polls. Excuse me a minute here.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
We have had some late money come in. It's been a little bit some people have been a little bit curious about where the money's coming from. But it's not to my committee. It's to another committee. And we have had we've been able to use that to put out mailers, very effective mailers, in my view, that raise the questions in people's minds about where is the money going to be spent? Is this an appropriate way to finance it? And I sense as I go around and speaking to people about this that there is an inherent resistance to the notion of spending this amount of taxpayer money on a new and extravagant program that may or may not yield results. And I think that where they have money on their side, the proponents, we have the passion on our side. And I've never seen people quite so upset, so many people quite so upset about an initiative. And I think that that is going to carry the day, the passion and the people who really are strongly, strongly against this.
David, do you buy that you've got the money and the other side's got the passion?
No, I don't. I think there's a lot of passion on both sides, but I think the passion that we have is that we know this is quite consistent with our mission. Our three institutions have an opportunity to be of tremendous service to the community and have been. And this is a further investment in that service and is going to produce an outcome that is going to be very measurable.
Okay, let's go back to some calls here, and let's go to Ian from Overland Park. Ian, good morning.
Good morning. I was actually just wondering about why is it that Jackson County is the only county that will be paying this tax when the St. Luke's Health System and Children's Mercy both straddle the state line?
Boy, there's a question for the ages. David, you want to take that one?
We,
a lot of history in that question.
We are judged a Missouri institution. We do have a facility in Kansas, as does St. Luke's, but we are primarily Missouri institutions, and the money that we're going to be receiving will stay in the state of Missouri. In fact, the ballot language and other agreements that we've reached will see to that. So I think it's important to recognize that this in a perfect world, you might want to have this be a multi-jurisdictional, bi-state initiative, much like Union Station was. I think the political calculus associated with that is so difficult that it makes it extraordinarily challenging. These three institutions are based in Kansas City, were founded in Kansas City, in Jackson County, and that's where the work is going to be conducted.
But you might think that this is the kind of issue that might generate some bi-state support, David. Why wasn't there an attempt made to sort of spread the burden and try to cross the breach the state line for this particular initiative?
Well, there's been a similar program that was launched and approved by Johnson County voters a few years ago.
That's right. And the Research Triangle,
right,
it was called.
And so I think there was a feeling that part of the constituency has already weighed in on this kind of a matter and has voted affirmatively and would probably not be as interested in doing something again like that.
And if there's already a Research Triangle, David, in Johnson County, why do we need something else in Jackson County?
Well, that has to do with animal health, and that has to do with a different segment of the life sciences business, so to speak. And in Jackson County, we're really going to be focused on human health and improving the quality and the accelerated attempt to find cures.
Okay. Andy from Blue Springs. Andy, you're on Up to Date. We're debating the translational medicine tax on the ballot in Jackson County next Tuesday. Good morning.
Hi. When you do this kind of research, you expect certain commercial benefits, stuff that would give copyrights or patents or so on. That stuff has quite a bit of commercial value. Who's going to get those patents, copyrights? I mean, who's going to own the results?
You know, there's going to be a formula that is always followed in those kinds of matters. The scientist who is doing the work will have some share of that. The institution will have some share of that. Jackson County will share 20% of that. So it will be divided in contracts that will be negotiated on each particular product that might be invented. I do want to emphasize again that while we anticipate there will be commercialization sufficient to sustain this institute beyond the 20-year tax, that is not the primary motivation here. The primary motivation is to attract even higher numbers of profoundly qualified research scientists who can be available to our patients to advance the quality of care, to keep people from having to leave Kansas City to get that care. and to also benefit the economy through the stimulation of new jobs and new commercialization activities that will come from that.
You know, Jim Fitzpatrick, in the course of this campaign, opponents have raised this question about priorities and why translational medicine is a priority right now over other issues. What do you say to that? What's your thinking on that front?
Well, one of the reasons that Sly James has chosen to make no endorsement, which I interpret as opposition, because the other side did go to him and ask him if he would support this, and he said no, and that's when they went to the county, and that's why they went to the county.
Meaning it was going to be a city tax to begin with as opposed to a county tax?
That's my understanding, yes. And it makes more sense as a count to come from the city, because its reach, its palette of priorities is much broader than that of the county. The county's core responsibilities are to assess and collect taxes, and we've seen that they have a very great, very difficult time doing that, recording deeds, and providing basic services in the unincorporated areas. This is far, far removed from any core responsibilities of Jackson County, and it just begs the question of why would they shoot into outer space on this? Well, the reason is because, and this is a point that has not been brought up yet, Steve, today, this is not a tax that came from within government, as most taxes do, say for parks or for police or for fire. No, this came from the Civic Council, C-I-V as in Victor, C-I-V-I-C Council of Greater Kansas City, whose members, there's no list of their membership. We don't know who they are. This has been their brainchild, their pet project for more than 10 years, and they are determined to make this happen. And they took the route of least resistance, I think. Let's let the taxpayers pay for it. When, in fact, they should have had a well-publicized, large-scale campaign to raise the money privately through corporations, foundations, of which we have several, and wealthy individuals. And they should have explained translational medicine. What is it?
But let's get a response here from David. The route of least resistance, David, or not?
To have a discussion about motives versus merit, I think is really an argument that distracts from what we really ought to be talking about here, which is what the benefits are associated with translational medicine and how those benefits can deliver both economic and health care value to the community. And the Civic Council is a very well-known organization. They have offices. They have an executive director. They have board members. And the people who have put money into this initiative have not all come from the life sciences industry. These are very diverse business and civic leaders who have tried very hard to build a community. It was the same kind of civic council that came together over 20 years ago and said, let's build a children's hospital that will become among the best in the nation. That was a magnificent vision, and it's been accomplished not because of one person, but because of collective community effort. That's what this is about. And it is hard to relate to translational medicine until you are a patient at a hospital and recognize that the physician in service to you and your family is right there on the side of the most innovative medicine that can be found and can be used and can be deployed to treat patients who are in need. And we should be proud of that, and we're proud of it because the institutions that are representing this initiative have made significant accomplishments in this area.
David, this notion that Jim just raised, this idea of why the supporters didn't go to foundations and other sort of civic-minded groups in town to fund this as opposed to asking taxpayers, what about that point?
This is not the only agenda. This is not the only public service agenda that would be available to the community. And there was a serious effort explored to try to get legislative relief in the state of Missouri that was declared. There was a law that was declared unconstitutional that was no longer available to us to try to find state funding. The foundation community has a very long-term agenda that could not be used to support this. And to the caller earlier who talked about basic research, that's right. The Stowers family, through Virginia and Jim Stowers' generosity, have established this enormously important basic research foundation in Kansas City. This would be the counterpart to that, to take what they discover and to apply it to patient care and quality cures.
Let me just grab one more call or two as we discuss and debate the translational medicine tax on the ballot next Tuesday in Jackson County. Pat from Kansas City, Missouri, good morning. Pat's not there. Let's go to Anita from Kansas City, Missouri. Anita, good morning.
Good morning. My comment is that No one objects to medical research or translational medicine. It's the method they're using to raise the money. It's a regressive tax on one of the poorest county in the region. And that's my objection, and that's why I'll vote no.
Okay, I appreciate that. That'll be all the time we have for our debate this morning as we talk about this medical research tax. I want to thank David Westbrook from Children's Mercy Hospital. David, always good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And Jim Fitzpatrick, he's with the Committee to Stop a Bad Cure. Jim, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, time for a break here. Coming up, a look at why governments use the sales tax as a revenue generator and how much of a load on the sales tax is too much. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.